Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the privilege of being your children. Father, what an awesome privilege it is to be your child tonight. Lord, that we might rise up within ourselves and truly open our hearts and our understanding to give you the fullness of glory from our lips that you deserve. That we would truly be captured by your word tonight, by your will, and by your spirit. Not for our benefit or our feel-goodness, but for your glory. Because at this late date, we still don't quite understand how great you are. When it should be a proclamation, it still has a question mark. So, Father, tonight I ask that you would surgically remove the hindrances within our lives and cause us to be able to stand and truly be a proclamation of your greatness in the earth. For what a privilege it is, Lord. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity to share one with another. In Jesus' name. You might wonder why I asked for a trash can. I was hoping for a dumpster. And then as it was sitting next to me, I thought, well, I could just, you know, climb into it. And I thought I'd probably get stuck. So, and then I thought, well, I could ask for a kid to climb into it. And it's relatively clean, as you can see. But its purpose here tonight is I want to ask you, what thing or things are keeping you from doing your heart's desire? What thing or things, what's keeping you from fulfilling the call of God on your life? And whatever it is, now you cannot throw a spouse, because it really has nothing to do with your spouse. You cannot throw a parent or a child in here. But the things that hinder you tonight from what is on your heart to do and be, I want you to somehow write it down, scribble it, draw a picture, proclaim it. If you have to come here and throw up, so be it. We'll take it outside when we're done. Disease, disorder, confusion, fear, lack of faith, lack of understanding, finances, insecurity, lack of knowledge, lack of training. I don't have a PhD. Why do you need a FUD after your name? So always, you know, we need an honorary FUD to feel good about ourselves. I think next time I'll have to bring FUDs and hang them out. You can have a FUD after your name. Whatever is hindering you, let's trash it. And if you want to, when we're all done this evening, you may come, pull it out of here, put it in your pocket, purse, or Bible, and take it home with you. Because that's what we've done, and that's what we do. Time in and time out. We do it over and over and over again. We give it to God, and then we take it back. We give it to God, and we take it back. And we give it to God, and we take it back. And why are we always praying the same prayer that we prayed last time? And here's the way my mind thinks. I know you wondered if I had one. I do, and it does work from time to time. Albeit not like yours might. But if you're a resident alien, of which I am, if you're in the world but not of the world, we may not all think alike. And here's the difference between you and I just at the very beginning. We are all in the world tonight, but I don't really live here. I have a physical address, but it's not my home address. And I know it. I'm aware of it. I'm acutely aware of the fact that I live in and amongst humanity, but this isn't my real spot. That being said, I should not act like a regular person. I do have manners. You may not have experienced them. I'm sorry. I do have compassion. You might not believe that. It's pretty much true. It compels me to try and understand things I don't comprehend. But the difference between you and I is I am always acutely aware that I live here, but I don't belong here. I'm here for a season. I don't know how long. I want 136 years. That's just my deal. In that time span that I'm here, I want to learn to walk so closely to the Lord that my feet don't touch ground. I heard that's possible. I want to be so close with God and so empowered by Him that if there's an obstruction in my way, I don't even notice it. I just go through it. I want to understand the cellular makeup of my earth suit so that I can dissolve it and have it manifest on the other side of the problem. And I'm willing to hang around until I mature. So maybe I'm a slow learner and that's why I need 136 years. I don't know. But I'm asking you, what stops you from doing what is in your heart to do? And if you don't want to drop it in the bin, that's your privilege. How many of you still wear the clothes you wore when you were 6? 12? 13? 17? You getting my point? Do you keep them in your closet? Still got them? Take them with you when they no longer fit? You see, the more time we spend with God, the more we become childlike but not childish. And carrying around the things that hinder us is not childlike, it is childish. And so I invite us all, whatever your hindrance, I'm going to put it over here. Now, yeah, I might change it halfway. Whatever your hindrance, write it down, draw a picture. Speak it into here. Anytime during the service, just try not to be totally annoying. But if you have to be a little annoying, it's okay, I'm good with that. But whatever hinders you, please get rid of it tonight. And in doing that, let it be a step of faith. But let it also be a new beginning for you. What if God, when you do that, says, oh, money's his hindrance. And when you take that step of faith, the way you came in tonight, you never go out that same way. All of a sudden, you have to learn to walk like a billionaire. You'd have your head high, wouldn't you? Well, how do we know if we're not going to try it? You see where I'm coming from? Yes, no, maybe, yes, no. Oh. The breakthrough we experience in our lives is predicated by the intimacy that we spend with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. The breakthrough in your life is predicated, it's preceded by how much time do you spend with Him? When I was growing up, America was by far the best country on the face of the earth. And we were known as a nation of creators. and we were an industrialized nation, and we made everything in-house, and we had the most innovative ideas, and we had the most astounding brains, and everybody looked to this country as an example to either be like or not be like. So forward-moving were we that we became an example of something. And you want to know what happened? We got greedy. And we began to outsource our creativity to another nation who could do it cheaper, without paying taxes, without supporting our nation. And in doing that, we lost jobs and we began to lose our identity. And you know what we have done as believers? We have outsourced our intimacy with God to somebody else. And we have said, Pastor, you hear God for us. And we've outsourced hearing God for our community to the leaders. Why? Because we're greedy. We want the benefit without the price. We want the idea without the pain. We want the glory without the tears. And we have outsourced our relationship with Jesus in hopes that somebody might give us a prophetic word. And we become the children of Israel, fresh out of Egypt, going, Moses, you go to the mountain and hear God for us, and whatever he says, we'll do. And we have given away our responsibility, not because we don't want responsibility, but as long as someone else holds our responsibility, if we mess up, it's not our fault, it's pastors. We did it as a nation, and we're doing it as a body of believers. And I'm telling you, the breakthrough that we are all looking for in our lives is predicated by the intimacy, the time we spend with our Lord. How great is our God? Is it a question or a statement? The miracles we want, we have to want as if our life depends upon it, because it does. But we want them rather instantly. Not quite like coffee, but maybe like Starbucks. A little cream, a little froth, a little smile. We don't want them to be the boop, 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 boop generation, because that takes more time. We want it right now, and we want somebody to give it to us. And we're willing to let go of our miracle from God with our first, middle, and last name on it to somebody else. Not because we can't do the work, but because we're afraid that if it doesn't work, we'll have to take responsibility ourselves. How great is our God? Let me tell you. Genesis 1:1 and Psalm 19:1, Elohim, reference to God of power and might. Malachi 1:16, Adonai, Lord, the lordship of our God. Genesis 2:4, Yahweh, Jehovah, reference to God's divine salvation. Exodus 31:13, Jehovah Mekadesh, meaning the Lord our sanctifier. Every name that he carries to humanity, we are supposed to come to him and experience it for ourselves. And in doing that, we become enlivened, emboldened, strengthened. And we don't know how to do that. To the degree that we want to see miracles is only regulated by the degree of how much time do you spend with him yourself. I think I shared with you last time I was here that David and I were praying a few months back, and as he started to pray and he asked the Lord, oh Lord, please intervene in. I said, David, I don't think you can pray that prayer. And here, he's praying for something in our situation, and I'm interrupting him, and I'm like, honey, I'm so sorry. I don't think we can ask God anymore to do the thing for us that we are not willing to do ourselves. We wanted him to intervene in our finances or our health or our direction or something. And here we were asking again for God to do the thing that we weren't willing to take the time to do first. He's not required to give us the same answer he gave us this time last year when we asked him for the same miracle we're asking for today. Uh-oh, hear those alarms? Did you hear that coming? It's going to hit hard. It's going to hit hard. And you know me, you know I would not hurt you on purpose, but I know this one's going to be painful. Okay? I'm just saying. If we are asking God for the same thing the same way that we asked for this time last year, something in us needs to change because he's perfect. And if our walk with the Lord today is the same way it was this time last year, something in us has to break. We've got to quit outsourcing our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to our leaders. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are here to help guide. But you're supposed to do the work with us. We don't do it in place of you. We can't. That's not our job. I'll give you an example of how does this work for me. We drove up to the church this afternoon, and I saw part of the lettering on the church in green and the other part in a different color. And I came in, and I said, can I paint the rest of that lettering tomorrow, please? I mean, that was my first thought. It wasn't, hi, Pastor, how are you? It was like, do I get to finish the lettering tomorrow when service is done? I want to put my hand to what God is doing here. And so I want to paint the rest of the words. I got to get my hands in it. As Western civilization, we've become sterilized in our Christianity, and it came in so subtly we didn't notice it was happening. We used that antibacterial soap. And all of a sudden, we're afraid to get dirty. Did you know the dirtiest work is some of the funnest? You can stink for real. On purpose. Oh, it's okay. She always smells like that. She's been out working. You can look ugly by choice. Now, that might not thrill some of you. I rather like ugly. But then you have to remember, I'm a fan of hurricanes and earthquakes and natural disasters. And are you getting where I'm coming from? And you know, I've been talking this long and nobody's put anything in the bin. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23:1. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. How great is our God? Is it a question or is it a proclamation? Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Did you know that he created us with so much life and so much purpose and so much presence? What does he say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's here with us. So what happens if we were worried about money this time last year and we're worried about money this time this year? And he's been here all the time. You want to know how my prayers go? God, give me a benefactor to send me around the world to preach for fun. And until that person or persons come, give me a creative idea that will finance my ability to go all over just for fun. And until that happens, show me a position I can have to create an income so I can travel and share what you put in my heart until the other things come. But Lord, don't let me sit here. I am not good moldy. I am just not good sitting on a shelf for myself. I don't know what to do. How great is our God?
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Exodus 15:26. Is your health freaking you out? Is that your limitation? Is that why you're not doing what God has put on your heart to do?
We can get rid of it. He's our healer. How great is he? How great are you? We sing, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
We say we trust him for eternity, but I got to tell you, the revelation of God speaking to you one-to-one is as impactful on your daily life as salvation is to your eternity. I know that was a little heavy. I'm going to say it again. When you spend time with the Lord and he reveals secrets to those who spend time with him, when that revelation comes to you, it is as impactful, which means it has the ability to impact your life just as much in your day-to-day living as receiving Jesus as your Savior did to your eternal purpose. And so what do? Oh, God, we want revelation knowledge. Please, please, please show us. Yeah, we're supposed to ask. But why don't we ask while we're spending time with him? Because that's when the secrets come. Do you want to know where my place of refuge is? Now, you know, I think that I'm God's favorite kid. And I know that you understand that. Because if we're the same, you feel that too. But I never feel like I have to share him, ever. So when I need comfort, I crawl into Father God's lap. And I lean my head on his chest. And I listen to his heartbeat. And I watch his breath with the rise and flow of his chest. And then I try to mimic his breathing. And it only takes a breath or two until I found peace and I'm not worried anymore. And I have a really good friend who sits in the corner in the spirit and she plays the ukulele. And that's become my place of refuge. It only takes one breath to bring complete peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord our righteousness. How great is our God? Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22:13-14, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Okay. Provision. What about provision? Have you ever done this? So God, where is it? Did you ever ask God, where is it? You've had that prophetic word and you know it's a word from the Lord. And I agree with you, it is a word from the Lord. But then you don't know how it works. You don't know how it fits. You don't know how it feels. You don't know how to walk in it. You don't know how to wear it. So you walk around your life going, so where is it? All things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to you. It's right here, already in you. And that word from the Lord was to lift you up so you could carry it and walk it out. Well, what does it look like? Just like you. What does it feel like? A little pale, but okay. What does it sound like? Me? For me? How do you walk it out? I usually try one foot in front of the other. And I start out slow, just in case it's going to be a little off balance. The miracles that we want are going to come when they are preceded by intimacy with our God for ourselves.
I guess I can share with you. But I still am his favorite, okay? I can scooch over in his lap should you need to sit there tonight. But if you waste my space with whining, I'm bound to push you off. Exodus 17:15, the Lord's our banner, Jehovah Nissi. Isaiah 6:1-3, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Genesis 14:17-20, and Isaiah 14:13-14, the Most High God, El Elyon. The Most High God means there isn't anybody bigger than he is. And he is here, and he is here, and he is here, and he is here. He said he'd never leave or forsake. In Genesis, in creation, it says the Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the waters. He hovered. He waited. He nested until it became maturity. And when God speaks a word over his people, the Spirit of God hovers until that maturity comes to life in you. But we, in subtle disillusionment, outsource our privilege of intimacy with God to someone else. I don't want us to do that anymore. We're missing out on so much life. I want us so full of God that if something's going wrong, we can't tell. Because we're so above the circumstances in our day-to-day lives. Oh, Brenda, that's just a pipe dream. Give me more pipe. I am a dreamer, and I'm not about to stop now. Oh, that's just, you're just being silly. I'll be foolish. Normal just isn't all it's cracked up to be in my book anyway. I know that God's desire for you and I is to succeed in every aspect of our life on this earth and in any other dominion we should go from here on. When I was in Japan, there were six of us, I think, and Linnea and I were in one room, and we hadn't picked up our daughter, or my daughter, Allie, yet. And there were four other ladies in the next room, and I was sound asleep, and I don't know if she was sleeping, and I was on the common wall, and they were doing warfare, 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 and they were having a terrible time, evidently, and all of a sudden, this big, red, demonic entity came through the wall and went, at me. And it woke me up, so I was a little cranky. And I said, oh, stop it. You have no authority here. And it went back. And then all of a sudden, these four ladies from the next room come running over and said, did you send that demon back into our room? And we started laughing. And I said, well, I didn't send it to your room per se. I just told it it couldn't be here. Well, we've been warring against that thing for hours. And I thought, why? Why would you give it so much time and attention? It just puffs itself up to intimidate you. We're children of the living God. It has no authority in my room. I'm asleep. Leave me be. You can do that with anything. Poverty, fear, sickness, confusion, miscommunication,
anything that puffs it up itself up and tries to rear its head in your space. Recognize it for what it is. A really big balloon of hot air that has nothing to do with your eternity. You can play with it if you want. You can bounce it off your walls. You can toss it to your friends. You know how people throw those balloons around? We do that with demons and think it's warfare. Oh, you have no place here. It just doesn't. If you don't let it, it can't stay. It's not how you react to things. It's how you act on the word that makes the difference. Genesis 16:13, Elroy says, "The strong one who sees me." God sees us every day. Our entire lives, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He sees everything. He's waiting for you to pay attention with him. If I still have the same problem communicating with my husband that I had the first week I was married, we don't do very well together. You gotta wonder, do they ever talk? If we still had the same issues from day one, do they ever talk? But as believers, we go through the same cyclical infirmities over and over and over again. And I don't know about you, I get really frustrated. God, why am I doing this again? He goes, I don't know, why are you? The answer's in the word. The answer's in intimacy with God. God, you're never sick. How come you're never sick? And here I am, your child, and I'm sick. What to do? What to do? Spend time with him. He tells secrets to those who spend time with him. I don't know if I should go or stay. I don't know if I should come or go. I don't know if I should or I shouldn't. Spend time with him. He tells secrets to those who spend time with him. But that's why I have a pastor. No. No, beloved. Your pastor's here to say, oh, good job, you're spending time with him. Well done. I see you've overcome that confusion. You're spending time with him. Well done. He's our cheerleader as we fight the good fight of faith. And we're his. She's our cheerleader as we fight the good fight of faith, and we're hers. How great is our God? Is it a proclamation? Is it a declaration? Or is it a question? Now, a declaration is something that you're going to say, you're going to declare it, and a proclamation is something that the world tends to see. The everlasting God, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, El Elyon. 1 Thessalonians 4, 6 says he's our avenger. Romans 8, 15, he's Abba. 1 John 2, 1, he's our advocate. Genesis 17, 1, he's almighty. Colossians 3, 11, he's all in all. Revelation 22, 13, he's Alpha. Revelation 3, 14, he's Amen. Daniel 7, 9, he's Ancient of Days. Psalm 2, 2, he's the anointed one. Hebrews 3, 1, he's our apostle. Isaiah 53, 1, he's the arm of the Lord. Hebrews 5, 9, he's the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 12, 2, he's the author of our faith. 1 Corinthians 14:33, he's the author of peace. Any of this stuff dealing with your daily life? Get intimate with God. You'll find your way out.
Revelation 21:6, our beginning. 1 Peter 2:25, bishop of our souls. 1 Timothy 6:15, blessed and holy ruler. Jeremiah 33:15, he's our branch. John 6:33, bread of God. John 6:35, bread of life. Genesis 2:7, Revelation 11:11, bread of life. Isaiah 62:5, bridegroom. Revelation 22:16, bright morning star. Psalm, Samuel. Proverbs, he's our buckler. Hebrews 2:10, captain of salvation. Mark 6:3, carpenter. 1 Peter 5:4, chief shepherd. Isaiah 42:1, chosen one. Matthew 22:42, Christ. Luke 9:20, Christ of God. Luke 2:11, Christ the Lord. Matthew 16:16, Christ, son of the living God. John 14:26, comforter. Isaiah 53:4, commander. Luke 2:25, consolation of Israel. Deuteronomy 4:24 and Hebrews 12:29, consuming fire. What's bugging us? What's stopping us? What's keeping us from fulfilling the will of God in our lives? Whatever it is, you can bin it tonight. And you can begin to be intimate with our God. And these character traits of him will become character traits of you. Then the need you have doesn't become for your foreign no more. It becomes for your community. Maybe that new album God's told you to write and produce and put out. Maybe that new book. Maybe that new school. Maybe that new hospital. Maybe it's a nation you're birthing and you thought it was just little old you. Maybe it's a call for the world and you thought it was just for your family. But you won't know if you don't spend time with him. You understand when I say intimate. Can I use you? You understand? Intimate. Intimate. Close enough to hear a whisper. Intimate time with the Lord. Close enough to hear a whisper. Intimate time with him. And those who spend intimate time with him, he tells secrets. I'm not a secret spreader, but I love to hear them from God. He placed the stars in the heavens, and he knows them all by name. And I want to know, did he go, or I want to know, what's it feel like when you put a star you know personally into the universe? Just the thought makes me tickle. Think about it a minute. Think about it a moment. And then you think, well, I don't know enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not bold enough. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough experience. Let me tell you something that I found in a book called Quantum Glory by who? Phil Mason. This book's going to take me 12 years to finish it because I get stuck on every page. It talks about quantum physics and quantum mechanics and quantum glory. And in it, here's some amazing statistics about you and I. And this is how I know you can bin your problems and go on from here for them never to return again. This is how I know. Because I know something about how great our God is, and I know something about how great he has created us and made us in his image and likeness, created he them. The quantity of information processed in our bodies during the course of one day, everybody say one day. You know that's 24 hours, give or take a few seconds, depending on, right? Okay. The quantity of information processed in our bodies during the course of one day is 1 million times greater than all the knowledge represented in all the books and all the libraries in the entire world. Did you hear? That's just you. That's before you have a conscious thought. That's before you brush your teeth, have your morning coffee, or anything else. Just you. The amount of information coursing through your body, your heartbeat, your breathing, your pulse, your muscles, the body fluids, everything in you resident, the amount of information coursing through your body in one day is 1 million times greater than all the knowledge represented in all the books and all the libraries in all the world. If you need to see that, go to the biggest library you can think of and just walk around and go, wow, I got more than that book. I got more than that book. I got more than that book. There's a greatness resident in us by virtue of being made like our God. And then when you receive Jesus, oh my gosh, it's about to take off. And we think we don't have enough that we need to overcome whatever it is that ails us, but we do. I'm here to say you've already got enough to succeed in your life. It's a matter of organizing it into the right place. Rather than the spiritual scattergun approach, just pick something and hang with it. It'll work. And if you're wrong, have you heard my GPS? Her name is Betty. And when I turn the wrong way en route to somewhere else, she says, recalculating. If we, in our zeal and fervor, get off recalculating, the Holy Spirit will bring us right back on track as we spend time with him. Okay, now we're going to talk about our brain. Did you come with your brain tonight? Sure. Yes? No? Maybe? I'm not sure. If you came tonight and you think you came with your brain and you think it might work, could you just humor me and raise your hand? Okay. Most of us came with a brain. Praise God. And if it works, oh, hallelujah. Altogether in your brain, do you know where it lives? Kidney, brain. Kidney, brain, okay? Just do this for just a second. Please humor me. The total number of connections in the human brain approaches 1,000,000,000,000. Hello? You can relax. The total number of connections in your brain reaches a number 1,000,000,000,000. That's before you have a conscious thought. That's just your basic ingredients. If you don't know what 1,000,000,000,000 looks like, it's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, And if you still can't comprehend the number of connections in your brain, if you took half of the size, geographical size of the United States, 1 million square miles, and you covered it in a forest containing 10,000 trees per square mile, and if those said trees each contained 100,000 leaves each, the total number of leaves in that forest would be 1,000,000,000,000. And that's what's in us. Now tell me we're not capable of doing something for God. Go ahead, try. Tell me you can't overcome your circumstance. Go ahead and try. I'm just not going to believe you. I'm so sorry. I love you. I can't believe it. Because I know what God put in you for basics. That's just basic. That's who we come as. That's before you have the mind of Christ. My thoughts are higher than yours. That's before he touches you. That's the basic ingredients. That's the vanilla cake. That's before you put the other stuff in. And then when you start walking in his presence and you start reading his word and you start yielding to his spirit and you start doing his will and you start speaking in his authority, the whole level of life has changed and heightened. And your definition of joy has just turned the corner and gone full speed down the other way. We are so fantastically created by God. He did not make a mistake with you and I. I know sometimes you look at me and go, oh yeah, with you, honey, he did. I call that character. That's my character. That's the uniqueness of me. You know, I'm a potter. I have had to come to the understanding of, as a person who throws and builds objects while they're spinning, I've had to come to appreciate their imperfections. I told you, I think last time, I don't throw round circular things. I throw spherical. They're roundish. I know what I want them to look like in my head, but by the time I get to the clay and it's wet and I'm pulling it up and the wheel's spinning around, they're roundish. And I'm okay with that because I'm kind of human-like. And I'm okay with that too because I'm not just a regular person. I've been invaded spirit, soul, and body by Jesus Christ our Lord. And his life in me now causes me to live by his grace because he loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not here living my own thing. If you ask me what I want, I don't have a clue. If you ask me what do I want to do, oh, everything. I want to help everyone. I want to give everything away. I want to see the life of God fully arrive in his people. I want them fully manifested in health and prosperity and understanding and wisdom. I want their discernment to be so fine-tuned that they can go to the third house on the fourth street in the middle of town and tell that man to stop beating his wife because Jesus loves him and her, and there's a better way. No condemnation. Put the gun down, baby. I want that to operate in all of us. I want to see everything God has for us. I want to do everything God's going to let us do. I want to go everywhere he says we can go. I'm not in a hurry because he isn't either. There's a time and a purpose to everything under heaven. But this is a time for sowing life into yourself, healing to the way you process your thoughts. This is a time to reap a harvest of newness in your walk with Christ. The revelation of who we are, the revelation of the Word of God being written on the tablets of our heart, that revelation knowledge is so life-changing that it should completely transform how we think, how we see ourselves, how we process information, how we interpret the Word of God, how we communicate with one another, to the same degree that receiving Jesus as our Savior transformed our eternity. And if we can believe him for something we cannot yet comprehend, why can we not believe him for right now? You see my dilemma? That's why it's so fun to be a resident alien. I live here, but I don't have to be this kind of confused if I don't want to be. You want to know my secret? You don't have to either. You can continue this way if you want. And that's your choice, and I will bless you in it. But I want more. I don't expect God to come and drop more in my life. I just need to learn to think and walk and live in the moreness he already put here in me. I want perfection, but I'm not perfect. To get better, I must practice. I don't like practicing. Oh, well, then you're not going to get better. Well, if pastor had more revelation, then the church would be bigger, more people would be praying, then the worship would be greater, and then I wouldn't have to worry about anything. And then when they prayed for me, surely I'd be healed. Not if you don't spend time with God, you won't. He might mercifully help you without any effort to get you going. But the people in this room, you're not babies. You know enough of the word to get yourself in deep doo-doo. Now it's time to know enough in the word to pull yourself out of it. He's our strength. He's our courage. He's our source. He's our deliverer. He's our life. He's our purpose. How great is our God? Is it a proclamation? Is it a declaration? Or is it a question? There's no one right answer. Wherever you answer, however you answer, whatever answer you put there, that's where you are. That's where you start from tonight. But please, 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 don't expect me to come with a prophetic word that you're not willing to give yourself. I could talk myself out of a job someday. Not that I won't give a word should God give me one for you. But please, 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 expect to be that person so on fire with God that you have it yourself. And then when we come together and praise and worship, wow, then we're in agreement and we're both looking for God's perfect will for our time together. And then if three or four of us come together, then we're all in agreement for God's perfect will to work as we come together. And then before you know it, a room of this many people is full of his presence because we don't need anything from him. We brought it with us. And then we came in agreement in worship and praise, and then, bam! Then the thing that we hoped for has gained substance in our lives as we stepped out in it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're justified. In the J's, he's our justifier. By faith. And without it, it's impossible to please him. So we have to step out in what we know. But if we spend time with him, we know that in our stepping out, if those that seek him will surely find him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's he reward you with? Whatever was hindering me, the answer to what I toss in the bin. More compassion. More understanding, more mercy, more grace, more provision, more health, more direction, more intimacy. I've been a Christian for 37 years, June 10th. And from the moment I can remember, I've been so jealous of Enoch until recently. Because Enoch walked with God, and my first thought was, I want to walk with God. And then Enoch walked with God so much that He didn't go to his house. God took him. He didn't put him in a storage unit till the last day. He took him to his house. And they've been feasting and dining and watching and perusing all this time together. But the intimacy didn't start at God's house. It started at Enoch's house. And God says, you want it? Let's do it. Tradition in some European countries would be when the patriarch or matriarch of a household dies, they would set a place setting at each meal in honor of that person. And I'm thinking maybe we should start placing a place setting at our tables for God. I wonder what'll happen to our cooking if God's in our kitchen. This is my knife. You've got your own. What if we have a special chair? No. You can sit anywhere, but not there. That's God's chair in my living room. Because he really is every place with us anyway. But maybe we need to recognize him everywhere. The thing that you want to see in this community does not start with a wonderful idea that your pastors are going to get. It starts with the wonderful idea you're going to get. And as you start to sow prayer and intercession and faith into that idea, it'll take root. And I guarantee you get it going and the pastors will support it. But don't bring them something that's half-baked and expect them to think it's tasty good. You know, a half-baked cake doesn't taste good at all. Take that vision and create it in your life. And we will support you in it. But you can't just want it. You can't just need it. You have to act on it. You have to step out in faith on it. I don't know if I shared this with you last time I was here, but I met a friend who spent an entire Saturday afternoon at the entrance to the biggest park in his city. And he sat there for 5.5 hours. And everybody who walked by him, he said, would you like me to pray for you? Anything. Would you like me to pray for you today? I could pray for you today. And he asked everybody who walked by him, could I pray for you today? Is there anything you might need? Could I pray for you? And I said, did you get a lot of rejections? He said, yeah, I got a few. I said, how many people did you pray for? 128. 128 people in just a few hours in the entrance to the park in his city. And I went, I'm going to my park. I got a big dog and a little dog. If I sit at the entrance of my park, they're both the same color. They're two completely different breeds. One's pointy, little with no tail. The other one's big. Big face. She looks like a cow in the face. Floppy ears, big tail. 16 pounds, 110 pounds. If I sit at the entrance to my park, everybody's going to come talk to me about my dog. And while they talk to me about my dogs, I'll say, can I pray for you? Is there anything you'd like prayer for? And I'm going to try it and see how many people I pray for in a couple hours' time. What's that going to do? That's going to let people in my city know that some weird woman sits at the entrance to the park and offers prayer. Well, what if we start doing that on a regular basis? What if a few of us start doing that and we call it fun? What would happen if we went to all different locations in our city just for fun? You know how they have those spontaneous planned dancing things in public places? I forget what they're called. Flash mobs. What if we had spontaneous planned prayer mobs that strategically went to different parts of our community and just sat there for a given amount of time, let's say an hour and a half, just in case we're lazy. And for an hour and a half, what if we just, the entrance to the grocery store, the entrance to the movie theater, the entrance to the gas station, what if you offered to pump people's gas and you say, I'll pump your gas for you if you give me the privilege of praying for you. Oh my gosh, we could get kicked out. That would be fun. What if, as a prayer mob, we decided to do that? And for an hour and a half, we go to some place of our choice, and we offer prayer for everyone who walks by, for anything. And then we come back together, and we share, how many people did you pray for? How many people did you pray for? What did they want? Were they shocked? Were they amazed? Were they stunned? Were they surprised? Was it fun? And then we'll call it Christianity 101. The things that God's put in us, just for basic beginnings, and then his relationship, his intimacy, his power, his purpose, his word, his will, his son, his dominion, his authority, his spirit, his plan, his provision, and we call it Christianity. I don't know about you, but I want to do this so bad it hurts. And I so like having fun, I don't want to be the only one doing it. Not that I won't, I will. I might have to do it tomorrow morning early. What if we try it? Or what other creative idea might you have that God is going to use to reach this community, to speak to the people in this neighborhood, to speak to this county, to speak to this region, to speak to this state? And then while we're having so much fun, we might as well just speak to the whole nation. We keep thinking that God's going to drop a big hunk of revelation in us and he's going to call us to go speak to somebody in authority when we've never spoken to our postal carrier. Faithful in a few, ruler over many. So tonight, we sang many songs about the greatness of God. And I so want his greatness to overtake us. And I have to say, the thing we're looking for is preceded by the time we're willing to spend with him. How many of you have certain people in your lives that you love so much and you get together and you really don't have to say anything, you just want to sit in their space? And somehow just sitting in the same place with them is enough. And if you happen to have a conversation, that's just more fun. Let's sit in the Father's space tonight, in the morning. Let's see what he's going to speak to us. I only got to the C's. I have notes all the way through the alphabet. All the way to Yah. On the names of God. I have the notes on who we are in Christ after we've received salvation. I'm planning on having a good time. Please don't let me be the only one who came prepared. Please don't let me be the only one ready to have a good time. Whatever hinders you, whatever has been your frustration with your forward momentum in your life, whatever has stopped you, please feel free to bin it. And I will graciously, gratefully thank you for the privilege. Take it out tonight. And if you want it back, you can dig for it before I go out. But why would you want to do that? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And that mind has more connections than half of this country, covered in a forest with so many leaves that I can't comprehend it. Our basic beginning is greater than we'll ever be able to use. And then he's entrusted us with his word. Father, you are greater than I have language to define. Your plan, your purpose, your power, your provision, they far exceed my comprehension. But we're here tonight, Lord, as your people. And we ask tonight that you show us how to spend intimate time with you. To take enough time to hear your voice. And Lord, I would be so bold as to ask that you would give us creativity to overcome our frailties by your spirit and by your word. And I would ask, Lord, that you wouldn't let us forget any area. The emotional upheavals, the confusion in relationships, the fear of failure, the voice of doing, that list of all the things we have to do, the loneliness, the confusion, the misunderstanding, the misrepresentation, the lack of knowledge, the lack of funding, the lack of wisdom, the lack of order and discipline. Lord, that you would give us creative ways to understand and participate actively in the change of our lives tonight. And that you would renew us in the spirit of our minds. These great, phenomenal things you've placed in us. And Lord, I would also be so bold as to ask that the days and months and years we have remaining in this atmosphere, that you would cause us to be a people that are a proclamation of how great you are. And Lord, I just want to thank you for these, your people. They're some of my favorites. I know how much they love you. And I know how hungry and eager they are to serve you. So I ask, Lord, that you would simplify their definition of service to where each one of us are today and show us how to begin to walk it out fresh and new. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. And Father, if there's confusion or discouragement or despair, I ask, Lord, that you will let them sit in my spot and curl up on your lap and listen to your heartbeat and watch your breathing and let them begin to mimic your breath coming in and your breath going out, so that with every breath they take, they will breathe in your life and your provision and your wisdom and your creativity. And with every breath they breathe out, they'll let go of all the things they don't need anymore. And I thank you for them, Father. This is like that place. This is like the beginning of that intimacy. It's a good place to be. And the answers to your prayer, they start from this place.
So, Father, you know me. I never know what to do next. But you do. And I thank you for it, Lord. Father, cause this, your inspiration, to take root in us, to produce fruit in our lives, that we might be pleasing to you. And should anybody hunger, they can come and partake of the fruit born of our relationship with you. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's things that are too scary to share. You don't have to. He knows. Sometimes confusion's too loud to hear clearly. When you're weak, he's strong. He'll cause you to order your thoughts rightly. Take a deep breath and breathe in just that peace that passes comprehension. And go ahead and breathe out and let go of some of the things that you don't need anymore. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There are so many things that could disillusion us and shake our faith and deter us, and God's not about to let that happen today. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you come play? Real soft. Hallelujah. As just a little bit of worship begins in our midst, if you need prayer, somebody will be here praying for you. Tomorrow when you come, if you have words, please write them down. I think there'll be a share time. As you get creative ideas, please write them down. I think we'll be able to share them. And as we're blessing one another, if you don't need anything tonight, hallelujah. But rather than come up just for one person to pray for you or one person to speak to you, maybe we can just join hands across the room. And let's just ask God to give the person next to us the thing we want most. Okay? Let's just join hands. If you don't feel like crossing the room, grab the hand of someone in a different row, seated in a different part of the room. And ask God to give them the thing you want most
the thing you need most, the thing you hunger for most.
Hallelujah.
Let the precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Let the precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Let your precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, let your precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Let the precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, let your precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Let your precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Let your precious Holy Spirit ever on us be outpoured as we sing,
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. You know, I don't ever want to take away from having prophets minister to us, because I think that's always important. In fact, this very week I've had some prophetic words to myself.